The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success with Kimberly Stewart. If you are looking to make a difference to your work life as well as your personal life, this program is for you. We'll have stories, identify tools and techniques to help you in your everyday success, and answer your questions and hear your ideas. Now, here is your host, Kimberly Stewart.
Welcome, Voice America listeners. Thank you for tuning in, both my dedicated, loyal listeners, as well as any new listeners that have come on to tune in to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. I am here with Mary Todd Winchester from Chesapeake Bay Foundation, and she is going to talk about Chesapeake Bay Foundation leading the way in sustainable building. Before we get into that discussion, though, I do want to talk about why this particular show is a special show to me. Chesapeake Bay Foundation, or otherwise known as CBF, does have a special place in my heart. One, and I think I probably at some point during one of these shows had talked about the stepping stones to my career and my path to having my own consulting company. And CBF is where it really started. And I remember when I worked there early on in my career, talking with staff members as well as consultants about what I wanted to do. And it led me to that business case that I know I've talked about that I wrote as my application to my MBA program. And I got in to the MBA program, and it started leading me the way down to having my own company, Stepping Stone Consulting. So professionally, it's a special place in my heart. It also, and Mary Todd will talk about this a little bit, has the mission of saving the bay. And being in the Chesapeake Bay watershed, again, I touch the bay every day, and family members that I have touched the bay every day. My son has been on the educational programs that they have, learning about the Chesapeake Bay and how important it is and how to save the bay. And I have spent many summers on the bay and enjoying everything that there is about the bay. So again, it has also a very personal, special place in my heart. And I'm very passionate about its mission. And I have a quick story to tell, and I just can't talk about the Chesapeake Bay watershed without giving this little insight into myself and actually my family, because they join in on this, is that whenever we travel outside of the watershed, there are signs that say leaving the Chesapeake Bay watershed or entering the Chesapeake Bay watershed, coming back. And my family members know that it's a very sad thing when we leave the Chesapeake Bay watershed. And so they acknowledge the sign and they make sure that I see it and I have a little sad face. But then when we enter the watershed again, it's a very happy face. So now it's just a little game that we play, and it's a bonding moment for the family. But it shows that we do take it to heart and that we do care about the bay. So again, another reason why having and talking about the Chesapeake Bay Foundation and what they are doing and leading the way in sustainable building is so important. And I'm so pleased to introduce Mary Todd Winchester. She is Vice President of Administration at the Chesapeake Bay Foundation. She joined CBF in 1971 during its fledgling years. And over the last 40-plus years, CBF has grown into one of the premier regional environmental organizations in the world. Mary Todd has been determined to practice what we preach. She has been instrumental in the purchase of property for CBF's current headquarters in Annapolis, Maryland, in 1997. She hired and was a part of the team that designed and built an international model holistic green facility 15 years ago. The CBF Philip Merrill Environmental Center earned the first U.S. Green Building LEED Platinum rating in the world and has won many other coveted awards. It is recognized as the building that educated and jump-started the green building effort. In 2012, another property was acquired by CBF for the preservation and an environmental center. Mary Todd is leading the team to raise the bar again by building a net zero water and energy facility, expecting to obtain the Living Building Challenge and the U.S. Green Building Council's LEED Platinum certifications. Welcome, Mary Todd, and thank you so much for coming and joining me on Stepping Stones to Everyday Success.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Thanks. So, you know, I just touched a little bit about how CBF has touched me and my family, but can you tell the listeners about Chesapeake Bay Foundation and what its mission is and how CBF is pursuing that mission?
Sure. As you mentioned, we're known as CBF, Chesapeake Bay Foundation, and our motto is Save the Bay. Our mission is to save the bay and keep it saved. We really, what we envision is that the bay and all of the tributary rivers will be healthy again and highly productive. It's a tough road. We're making a lot of headway, but there are also a lot of headwinds. So it's we're constantly working to reach that goal. We have a number of programs to help us reach these goals. A lot of people don't realize we've been around since 1966, and I joined the organization in 1971, and there were three of us on staff. Now we have 179 full-time staff, thousands of volunteers, interns, to help us work towards our mission for saving the bay. We have offices. The watershed is rather huge. It's 64,000 square miles, and it ranges from New York to Pennsylvania, Maryland, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. We have offices in Pennsylvania, Maryland, D.C. and Virginia, and running a number of programs. Our programs are advocacy, where we advocate for the implementation of solutions that will improve our water quality. CBF also has, we have a number of attorneys, staff members, grassroots coordinators who are constantly working with the legislators, decision makers, a number of people in the watershed to improve the water quality, whether it's through implementing new laws or enforcing the new the current laws. We also have an education program, which you mentioned that your son had participated in. And we take people out, whether they're students, teachers, principals, decision makers, all throughout the bay, whether it's in creeks, rivers, on the bay itself, to learn more about what the problems are and how each of us are impacting the bay and what we can do differently. Our programs take out about 35,000 people a year. And that adds up to quite a few people that have an impact. Rather than going into the classroom or going and making speeches to people, we like to get them out into the outdoors and experiencing and learning to love the bay like we do and hoping that they'll want to save it with us. We also have a litigation program that what we work to do is use litigation strategically to expose and rectify some of the worst cases of noncompliance with our environmental laws and regulations. And we've been very successful in, we pick our law cases very carefully, and we think we've been very successful, and it there are a lot of people who want to do the right thing, but there are also people who are bad actors, and those are the ones that we really need to file lawsuits in order to make a difference. We also have a program, a restoration program, where we actively engage in restoration efforts all throughout the bay, whether it is restoring wetlands, planting trees and shrubs and grasses and stream banks to help reduce the stormwater runoff. And it's helping farmers to put in fences along stream banks so that their animals don't go into the stream. So there are a number of programs. I could go on and on forever, but I think this gives you the overall idea of how involved we are. And the one thing to remember is, even though we have a large staff, CBF can't do this alone. Our outreach to the citizens of the Bay Watershed is very critical. We need citizens to help us save the Bay because CBF can't do it alone.
Yes. Well, you know, what I enjoyed while working at CBF and now as being a participant, volunteer, donor of CBF is that there are so many different programs and really opportunities depending on what your engagements are, what your interests are, what you can do. And I would say, you know, through, you know, the three generations I have, from my parents who are also living in the watershed to my husband and I and to my children, we engage different ways and at different times engage different ways. And what is wonderful is that there are those opportunities, and it's very easy to, you know, find out what are the right opportunities and how people can help save the Bay. So I think that it's wonderful and fantastic that there are those a variety of programs and not just a couple of different programs, but you can really pick and choose what you want.
Well, we need people from all types of backgrounds, and that is the key, is finding what people enjoy to do, and they become some of our best advocates for the Bay.
Yep, absolutely. And what we will be doing after this break is talking more about the Merrill Building and how Chesapeake Bay Foundation has been leading the way in sustainable green buildings, which may be something that not everyone might outright think about CBF as being a leader in that, and to understand exactly the type of leadership role that they have had. So stay tuned and go get a drink or take a little bathroom break and come back and listen to Mary Todd and I discuss how CBF is a leader in sustaining green buildings, and we will see you after this commercial break.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
What does a visual workplace mean to you? How does it contribute to operational excellence? And what steps do you take to put it powerfully in place? Listen to The Visual Workplace, Work That Makes Sense, to find out. Each week, Dr. Gwendolyn Galsworth, visual workplace expert and award-winning author, shares tools and strategies to help you make the workplace speak at a glance without saying a word. Learn to work safer, faster, better, and at far less cost, no matter what business you're in. Tune in to The Visual Workplace every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Business. When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You
are tuned in to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success with Kimberly Stewart. We want to hear from you today with your questions and comments. Please call into the program today at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to kstewart@steppingstone-llc.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. Thank you for coming back and tuning into Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. I am here with Mary Todd Winchester of Chesapeake Bay Foundation, and we are talking about how Chesapeake Bay Foundation is leading the way in sustainable buildings. In the first segment, we did talk a little bit about CBF's mission of saving the Bay and my connections with CBF, but now we're going to focus about, you know, the sustainable buildings and what CBF is doing to lead the world in sustainable buildings. So, Mary Todd, the Merrill Building is CBF's headquarter building and education center. It is LEED certified and, in fact, one of the first buildings to be LEED Platinum. Tell us how CBF came to making the decision to lead the way in building a LEED certified building.
Well, it really evolved. It wasn't something that we set out that we're going to build the greenest building in the world. Back in 1995, our board decided it would be important for us to be in one headquarters building. We were actually spread out in various buildings in Annapolis. So we found a piece of property and purchased it and decided that we were actually looking to purchase or either a building or property, depending upon what came up. And we found a property outside of Annapolis, the city of Annapolis, and it's located on the bay. And we bought it and stood on top of the hill on the property and went, oh my golly, what are we going to build? And we decided we needed to practice what we preach. And we needed to build a green building, a holistic green building. And at the same time, the U.S. Green Building Council was developing their LEED program, and we knew a number of people that were involved with that. Our architect, Smith Group, out of Washington, were very involved in that program. And we decided to use that, their initial program, to help us during our design, and during the process, as we began to design our building, we thought, okay, we're going to go after the gold. We weren't even thinking about the platinum. Our goal was to go after the gold. To make a long story short, we ended up obtaining the first platinum certification in the world. It was very exciting, but it was a long haul to get there. It was a terrific process. And what was interesting during that process, one of the best decisions that was ever made during the design process is when we realized we were going to be way over budget. And we thought that our board task force was going to tell us that designing green was a nice thing, but we really had to get back to budget. But they did end up saying we had to get back on budget, but there was a condition that we couldn't cut green because they wanted to be sure that we got the gold certification. These task members, this was back in 1996, 97, they were businessmen and women. And they became the true believers and allowed us to move forward to go for the LEED Platinum. So it was not something we planned. It evolved. It's something that we'd been practicing in a lot of our education facilities. We have quite a few education facilities in the middle part of the bay, where we take people for overnight education field trips. And we've been practicing green in those buildings little by little over the last 30-some years.
Yeah. So, you know, you talked a little bit about that path, and you acknowledged that, you know, as a pioneer, it evolved. It wasn't something that you set out, and that your architects really helped you in terms of evolving that. You know, tell us a little bit more about the journey of the Merrill Center and what were some of the challenges, other than getting back on budget, but what were some of the challenges and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. We were pioneers, and actually building our new building, I think being a pioneer back then was actually a little bit easier because a lot of people really didn't understand what we were doing, and there was they really didn't have a concept of what a holistic green building was, so it was easy for us to move forward, and there weren't a lot of eyes on us. The challenges, finding an architectural firm with green experience, there really were very few and far between, and we chose the Smith Group from D.C., that turned out to be a great relationship, and they're one of the top green building architectural firms in the world. One of our challenges was because we had facilities for our education program, we'd been using composting toilets for about 20 years or so, and trying to convince people that we wanted to use composting toilets in an office building was quite the challenge. We knew that it was possible, and we convinced them and they really do work. They've worked beautifully. I'll get into that in a little bit. But also wrestling with true green cost. What does it cost to build a green building versus a regular building? That was really difficult to pull the green components out of what it would normally cost. And as the years have gone on, we're getting some great comparisons. But early on, it was very difficult. Everybody wanted to know what does green cost? And we tried to get at that. Convincing staff that it was going to be okay to have open office system, no closed offices. Heating and cooling a building is so much more efficient by not having open offices. There are a lot of reasons for having open offices, but educating and convincing staff that was, they were coming from closed offices, so it was a big change. It's worked out very well.
And not only closed offices, but they were in separate buildings. So that's also...
That's right. They thought they'd never be able to have privacy, and we've worked it out that it works quite nicely. We were not ready for the facility to be a destination point. Over the last 13 years, we've had hundreds of thousands of people come and visit. It's a destination point for people. They want to learn what a green building is like. They want to know how we built it, what works better than, you know, what works, what didn't work, the experiences. We're still a destination point, which is just mind-boggling that that's still the case. And we had to set up a tour program. And again, that's where our volunteers, we trained some great volunteers to run our tour programs in order to help us with the overwhelming demand. So that those are just some of the things that we had to deal with, some of the challenges.
And it sounds like some of that is also a success, especially with the tour program. I mean, another way that you are connecting with people that you may not have connected otherwise, depending on where they are coming from. And
that's exactly right. There were so many people. We have a number of events here, and people want to come here because they want to see the green building. So either come attending an event or they book an event to have here. So that has expanded our outreach to people that we might not have ever reached. So we have accomplished We more than met our goals. We went way over meeting them, and there have been so many successes, unexpected successes as a result of our facility. People who want to learn from our experiences, but also it's been a fantastic recruiting tool for volunteers, for donors, for staff. People walk in here and say, I've got to work here. So they're constantly watching for job openings. Now when we have job openings, the number of people who apply for our openings is overwhelming, and the experience of the people who are and the abilities of the people who apply are the competition is fantastic. It's great. It's also great for retention of staff and volunteers and donors. There are a number of donors who walked in and went, these guys mean business. You know, they practice what they preach, and that's what we wanted to do, but didn't realize it was going to be noticed as much as it has been. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
The education power of the facility has been phenomenal. Education is a key program of the organization, and when people come in, to be able to connect decision makers, the general public, architects, contractors, people from all walks of life, and show people how you can do things and how building green also helps the environment and the bay. And so we were able to connect our building with all of the programs that we run, whether it is restoration, advocacy, volunteers. So that has really helped helped a lot.
Yeah, and I can speak from firsthand. You know, I do believe it was very exciting for me when I did go back and have my first tour of the headquarters, since I was not in there when I first worked. I was in the separate buildings. But then also bringing back my children and having them be toured around. And when you say that, you know, you see that CBF is practicing what they preach, I mean, it is very much so, but it's not in, you know, it's obvious but not obvious. It's very in a very professional business setting. But you do have the compost toilets that aren't, you know, that are very, you could walk in there and think that it was a regular restroom, other than you put sawdust.
That's right. That's right.
And you see where you're collecting the water, and you see the living green roofs. And so it's done in a very professional way, but you know that it is absolutely 100% you are practicing what you preach. And I think that that is one of the amazing takeaways I took. It's not a rugged facility by any means, and I don't feel sorry for the staff in their workspace. They look like they're enjoying it, and it's a very professional way. And any business can do this if they so choose to make that commitment.
I think that's an excellent point. It was actually one of our goals is to build a building that shows business owners, CEOs, CFOs of businesses that you can build a building that is green, efficient, and you don't have to lose beauty or comfort. It also, some of the people that caught on early were the business owners or the CFOs or the COOs who realized, wow, I can do this. It's going to make my bottom line better because I can build a green building and my operating expenses are going to be less. My clients or marketing to let people know that I'm also walking the walk. is huge. So they were the ones that really picked it up much faster than a lot of other people, which was it was interesting to watch that evolve.
Yes, absolutely. Well, it is time for another commercial break. So you are listening to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. I have Mary Todd Winchester of Chesapeake Bay Foundation on, and we are talking about how CBF is leading the way in sustainable buildings. So we will see you after the break.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
We hear it and read about it every day in the news.
America is heading over a fiscal cliff. Home prices are still receding and unemployment growing.
How can you preserve and increase your wealth in this kind of economy? Tune in to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with host Jay Taylor. Jay will explain the decline of our monetary system and the economy and will give you winning investment ideas and the tools to protect and increase your wealth. Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor can be heard Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Bob Pritchard has over 30 years of experience as a straight-talking business consultant and author working with some of the top Fortune 500 companies. Now he's come to the Voice America Business Channel to help you and your business. Tune in to the Bob Pritchard Radio Show for information about starting and successfully running a profitable business. From the movers and shakers to great marketing screw-ups, you can't afford to miss a single edition of the Bob Pritchard Radio Show. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Business.
We spend 70% of our week in the office. What is the difference between enjoying your job and enduring it? The number one motivator is a positive work environment. And that's where Real Recognition Radio comes in. Join your hosts, Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown, as they take a look at the positive factors of the workplace, such as employee rewards, recognition, incentives, and much more. Tune in to Real Recognition Radio. Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You are tuned in to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success with Kimberly Stewart. We want to hear from you today with your questions and comments. Please call into the program today at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to kstewart@steppingstone-llc.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. Thank you for coming back. You're listening to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success, and I have Mary Todd Winchester from Chesapeake Bay Foundation talking about how they are leading the way in sustainable building. Before we continue our discussion with Mary Todd, I do want to remind you and encourage you, if you have feedback, comments, and even questions that you haven't gotten to us or emailed us during the live show, please still feel free to email them to me. I am sure that Mary Todd would be happy to answer any of the questions, and we will get answers out to you, even if you've been listening to the podcast afterwards. Go to my host page, click on email the host, and you can email me directly your questions or your feedback on the show. We would love to hear that too. So Mary Todd, you know, we've been talking about the Philip Merrill Headquarters Environmental Center for CBF and how that really was leading the way in the late 90s on the platinum LEED certified buildings. So just last year, you began another journey, embarking on the acquisition and building of the Brock Environmental Center in Virginia Beach. What has CBF committed to do with this center to continue to show its leadership in green, sustainable buildings?
Well, I think the first thing to say is that we really had no idea we were going to have the opportunity to build another top green facility. This all came about as the result of realizing that we wanted to expand our programs and operations in the Hampton Roads area. And we enlisted a number of leaders in that area, businessmen, government leaders, philanthropists, and they helped us to realize that we really wanted to evolve our program. And we ended up looking and that we needed to build a facility down there. So we started looking for property, ended up finding a property that needed to be saved from development. We bought it along with the city of Virginia Beach. They bought 100 acres. We bought 10. And the leadership committee said, we want another Raise the Bar Green facility. So off we went.
Here we go again.
That's right. So little did any of us expect that this might happen. But it's pretty exciting. It's actually a little more scary than the Merrill Center because, as I mentioned before, with the Merrill Center, a lot of people didn't realize what we were doing at the time we were doing it. Now we have a lot of eyes on us, and the expectations are a little more are a lot higher, I think. But this has been exciting. We again hired the Smith Group architectural firm out of Washington. That they were the ones that worked with us on the Merrill Center. We actually put it out for bid, so they had to work to win that bid. And we are looking to make this facility a net zero facility. And what that means is that we hope to use net zero energy and water. And that means that for energy, we will produce all of the energy that we need in an average year of the energy that we use. And for water, we will capture the water that we use during the year. And that's a huge difference in looking at the design. And in order to do that, you really have to look at what our impact is and figure out where we're using our energy. And the key is not to produce a lot of solar power and wind power, but to really look at your energy uses and reduce those uses. And then you can determine how much solar power you may need and wind power. We're going to have 2 wind turbines, and we're going to have a roof full of solar power. And then for water, we're used to reducing our water. The composting toilet uses no water. There's no flush. So our water reduction is huge. So we'll have an abundance of collected water.
Are there other buildings in the world that can claim net zero energy and water?
Actually, yes. And it's there are a few. The Bullitt Center out in Seattle is an office building built in downtown Seattle. They are net zero energy and are working hard to be net zero water. And they've really raise the bar, and we are hoping to come right behind them and raise it even higher. But it's exciting when you've got partners in this that continue to push the bar and make a difference. There's the Birchie School on the West Coast. Most of them are on the West Coast. There's the Phipps Conservatory in Pittsburgh. We went to visit them. And what's great about that is that we become partners. We mm-hmm. talk with them and find out, you know, what are some of the stumbling blocks for your design and construction? What are the things that worked well? And what we do is it's like building blocks. We build off of each other's successes. And that's what you want. You don't want a building that is the model building and nobody build a building like it. The whole idea is to show people that you can do this. You can raise the bar. You can make a difference. You can incorporate it in your home. You can incorporate it in your business. You can incorporate it in your city or town. And that's what we want to do is bring people in to understand what they can do. Educate. Education is the key.
Right. And then and building their own confidence that, yes, you can do it. And there's partners out there that are willing to share their experiences and show what they have done and show their lessons learned.
Right. And yeah. And I think that is where the U.S. Green Building Council has done a fabulous job. The numbers of individuals, businesses, governments that have used that program to build green, the hundreds, thousands of buildings, whether they're homes or offices, has just been tremendous over the last decade. And that's exactly what you want. They built a wonderful program that people can follow and use and make it easy. So all we're doing is say, okay, we need to step up so that those that are willing to bite the bullet and take the next step can. But you can also work with the LEED program, whether you're certified silver or gold or platinum. It still makes it easy for you to understand and how to incorporate in your planning.
Yeah. So are there lessons learned that you guys are taking from the Philip Merrill Environmental Center journey and applying to this journey that you are embarking in or almost completing because you're opening in next year? Is that correct?
We hope to be in the building in late summer.
Okay.
The building is slated to be finished June, July and get into the building and we'll get things squared away and probably have a dedication in the early fall. So it's coming up fast.
Yes. So are there lessons that you've taken from Philip Merrill and are applying to the Brock Environmental Center or other lessons that you want
to
share from
There are so many lessons that we've learned from realizing that we can use composting toilets. Mm-hmm. We've learned in the Merrill Center we have too many windows. One of the biggest energy eaters in an office building is lighting. So anything that you can do to reduce your lighting will reduce your energy use. So using natural light is very important. So we designed it for a lot of windows. And we have learned over the years through experience that we don't have to have as many windows, but you can still design the building to take advantage of natural light to reduce your energy use. And so we have a lot less windows. We've learned that even with our offices, when we moved into the Merrill Center, most people had an average of about 60 square feet to work with. We've realized that you really don't need that much, you really don't need that much space. And we've now probably reduced that space to about 30 square feet, maybe a little bit more, 30 plus square feet to work because technology has made our lives so much different, so much more efficient. And by reducing the amount of square footage you use, you're actually reducing the amount of building that you have to build per person and per activity. So we've learned that. Those are just some of the things that we've learned that are making big things. Another thing is our technology. Technology has really improved over the last 10 years, and just the equipment that we use uses so much less energy, and we've learned that in some ways we want to use laptops because laptops tend to use less energy, but the new PCs, the desktop PCs, have made huge strides just in the last couple of years. So constantly looking at every little piece, everything you do in a building, how can we reduce that energy? How can we reduce that water usage? And so those are some of the same things that we thought about in the Merrill Center, and then through that experience transferred it to the Brock Center.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. And it is time for one last commercial break. You are listening to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. I have Mary Todd Winchester, Chesapeake Bay Foundation Vice President, and she is sharing her journeys and CBF's journeys in leading the way in sustainable buildings. Come back after this break.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Save on your prescriptions with the RX Savings Plus drug discount card offered by Voice America. It is not insurance, and discounts are only available from participating pharmacies. But 9 out of 10 pharmacies participate nationwide. Start saving today. Print your free card online at voiceamerica.rxsavingsplus.com or text the word TALK RADIO to 96362.
Hi, I'm Joe Swedish, CEO of WellPoint. We proudly support the March of Dimes and all they do to reduce the rate of premature birth in the United States. Though premature births have recently declined, still 500,000 babies are born too soon each year. We're helping the March of Dimes fund cutting-edge research and community programs that help moms and their babies live healthier lives. Please visit marchofdimes.com and join us in working together for stronger, healthier babies.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog, Press Pass? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective. Plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at vapresspass.com. That's vapresspass.com. VA Press Pass by Voice America. All access, all the time.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are tuned in to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success with Kimberly Stewart. We want to hear from you today with your questions and comments. Please call into the program today at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to kstewart@steppingstone-llc.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. Thank you for coming back. You are listening to Kimberly Stewart, your host on Stepping Stones to Everyday Success, and I'm talking with Mary Todd Winchester, who is Vice President of Administration at Chesapeake Bay Foundation. And we have been learning about the journeys that CBF has been taking on leading the way in sustainable buildings. So now, a little bit more the standard questions that I ask every guest, and we get a true flavor about how differently people define success and how they get over bad days and some of their practical advice. So Mary Todd, as one of my guests, how do you define success, and have you achieved it?
Oh, goodness. I think... You know, over the years, success tends to, defining success changes, but it all comes back to trying to have made a positive difference, whether it's for my husband, my sons, a friend, or for the greater good. To see that maybe something I've done has helped someone take a next step, to have a great belly laugh, to enjoy someone's company, or in my job, what I like to think about is that what I've done over the years has helped to move the needle for the understanding or the improvement of the environment, that what I've done that someone else has learned from it and taken the next step. So I think success is feeling good about what I've done and that it's made a difference.
Yep. So what do you do when you've had a bad day, and how do you get over it?
Take a deep breath. It's easy here. It's easy at home. I happen to live in the home I was raised in the village that I'm sixth generation. So at home, I can just walk around the village and you know, take a walk and enjoy myself and bump into somebody who's going to cheer me up. At work, working here at the Philip Merrill Center, all I have to do is get up and go outside.
Yep.
We've got the woods out where there's a nice path you can walk from. But I think the key when I have a bad day is and get over it is step back, not take it too seriously, and try to remove the emotions from it and think about, okay, what's going on? What caused this? How do I either get over it, or what do I need to do to change it? And it doesn't take me too long. I think I tend, I don't want to say I'm Pollyanna, but I tend to try to look for the bright side.
Yeah,
and move towards that.
Absolutely. And having been at the Philip Merrill building, I know it has a great atmosphere. Whether you want to go woods or go and see the water,
that's
you
right.
can get away and escape in that. So I think that is wonderful. What is some of the practical advice you can give others to help them be successful every day?
It's actually pretty simple. Do what you love.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out what you do well, what your positives are, and use them. Develop them. You don't want to be stuck in a job or at home where you're not happy. You need to figure out what your assets, what you do well, and follow your dream.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the key, and that's what's going to make you happy.
Yeah, absolutely. And so often I think that we hear that from guests, and it's really about finding your passion, because if you are doing your passion every day, you might have some bad days, but you're pursuing your dream and you're enjoying it. You can get up the next morning and keep on pursuing it. So absolutely. So you have shared with us some great journeys that you and CBF have taken on really leading the way in sustainable buildings. And probably have just scratched the surface on all the information that's out there. What are some of the ways that our listeners can find out more about what you're doing, not only with the Philip Merrill Environmental Center, but also the Brock Environmental Center? How can they learn more about that and all the initiatives of CBF?
They can go to our website, which is cbf.org. They could type in Save the Bay, but cbf.org will get you there. And the Brock Center is actually highlighted on the first page. The Merrill Center is also listed, so you can find out about that. The website really is a treasure trove of information of all of our programs, the issues of the Bay, what our strategic plan is, and of course we want anybody who visits the website to join us help us contribute and help us continue our programs to work to save the Bay.
Yes, and I am going to do this plug because I watched it and really enjoyed it. And there is a video about the Philip Merrill Environmental Center and the Brock Environmental Center, and I thought it was excellent, and I really enjoyed it, and very educational to me. So I do encourage all listeners to go to cbf.org. And you know, there is a wealth of information out there, but also there is that video, and it was very informative and educational to me, and hopefully it will be to you. So I thank you, Mary Todd. It was a pleasure having you as my guest and reconnecting with you. I always enjoyed working at CBF, and I've enjoyed now my relationship with CBF, being an avid supporter of Saving the Bay and learning about both the Philip Merrill Environmental Center, in which, you know, I think I was at the very beginning of that process. I don't believe there was, the land may have been purchased. I might have been at that time. Right. And then, of course, I have the connection down to Virginia Beach where my in-laws are, and I'm headed down there for Thanksgiving. So now I can talk about the Brock Environmental Center and the biggest debates that we've been having about how there's a zero footprint or zero net zero water and energy and how that is achieved. So thank you for helping me and educating me on all of that.
Well, thank you for having me on, and really appreciate the enthusiasm.
Well, you're very welcome. So again, you are listening to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success, and it is time to go, and we will absolutely see you next week. If you do have any questions at any time for Mary Todd, I am sure if you email me, I can get you answers. I am sure she would be happy to answer those questions that you have. And I do hope that you will check out their website, cbf.org. And also, always remember that you can like me on Facebook, you can follow me on Twitter, and you can connect with me on LinkedIn and get all the updates on my upcoming shows and my guests and the topics. So I hope that you have a very successful week this week, and we will see you next week on December 3rd. So thank you and have a great week.
Thanks again for joining us this week for Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. Please join your host, Kimberly Stewart, again next Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. This week, take one more step to find your success.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.